Shel Silverstein died this week at the age of 66. His talents ranged widely and wildly, from drawing naughty cartoons for Playboy, writing clever lyrics for country music songs, and to outrageous, imaginative, and sensitive stories and poems for children. Daniel Pinkwater, who's our ambassador to children's literature, has perhaps been too busy with his own work to know Shel Silverstein's. Daniel, thanks for being with us.
Hi, Scott.
On the other hand, you have familiarized yourself a little bit.
Well, it's a remarkable thing that I missed him until now. Mm-hmm. He was a Chicago guy. Yeah. I certainly knew who he was growing up. When I did, mm-hmm. I heard his songs played on the radio, those that could be played on the radio, and I'd seen his cartoons in a distinguished journal, which I always bought for the scholarly articles, and yet I never saw the children's books till now.
Really?
So now, here you are, introducing me to a children's poet.
Well, let me just read one of my favorite Shel Silverstein poems. It's called The Herc. I'd rather play tennis than go to the dentist. I'd rather play soccer than go to the doctor. I'd rather play Herc than go to work. Herc? Herc? What's Herc? I don't know, but it must be better than work.
yeah. Am I permitted to chime in with
yes,
one?
Yes, absolutely, please.
The acrobats. I'll swing by my ankles. She'll cling to your knees as you hang by your nose from a high-up trapeze. But just one thing, please, as we float through the breeze, don't sneeze.
Now, I think what I always found attractive about his work was that he was the class cut-up. He was the kid who always played it for laughs. He was the kid who always said something slightly outrageous, and he had both the charm and, in a sense, the intelligence to bring it off.
And he came along in children's books when they were still pretty stuffy, yeah. Stuffier than now. And he was sort of a bad boy. Here he was doing cartoons for Playboy. He was writing songs, and here he comes to do kids' books, and he's a little bit naughty, and it's quite a refreshing kind of tone for the time.
Strange too that a kid, man from the west side of Chicago, should write one of the great classic country songs, a Johnny Cash song. Let's listen to a little bit of A Boy Named Sue, can we?
Of course.
Well, my daddy left home when I was three, and he didn't leave much to Ma and me, just this old guitar and an empty bottle of booze. Now, I don't blame him because he run and hid, but the meanest thing that he ever did was before he left, he went and named me Sue. Well, he must have thought that it was quite a joke, and it got a lot of laughs from lots of folks. Seems I had to fight my whole life through. Some gal would giggle and I'd get red, and some guy'd laugh and I'd bust his head. I'll tell you, life ain't easy for a boy named Sue.
Yes.
All of the gifts are there.
Yes.
And it's not a children's song, let's put it that way.
Now, Scott, let me try one.
Here's sure, please.
Captain Hook. Captain Hook must remember not to scratch his toes. Captain Hook must watch out and never pick his nose. Captain Hook must be gentle when he shakes your hand. Captain Hook must be careful opening sardine cans and playing tag and pouring tea and turning pages of his book. Lots of folks, I'm glad I ain't. But mostly, Captain Hook.
That's a nice one. Perhaps I've been negligent to say, his two best-known books are Where the Sidewalk Ends and A Light in the Attic, and the classic is The Giving Tree. But we'll talk about The Giving Tree in a moment. There's another song we'd like to play that Shel Silverstein not only wrote, but he performed, which I think, I've gotten the impression over the years, this is kind of a famous song on the children's underground circuit. It's called Sarah Cynthia Sylvia Stout, and it's a song about garbage.
Oh, Sarah Cynthia Sylvia Stout would not take the garbage out. She'd wash the dishes and scrub the pans, cook the yams and spice the hams, and though her parents would scream and shout, she simply would not take the garbage out. And so it piled up to the ceilings, coffee grounds, potato peelings, brown bananas and rotten peas, chunks of sour cottage cheese. It filled the can, it covered the
There's
floor.
That complete involvement. I mean, this guy's totally into it. You know, as a performer, he was just clearly having a wonderful time.
Mm-hmm. Look, this is the 35th anniversary year of, I guess, the children's literature that he wrote that comes the closest to being considered a classic, and that's called The Giving Tree. It's about a relationship between a boy and a tree, and it begins, once there was a tree, and she loved a little boy, and every day the boy would come, and he would gather her leaves and make them into crowns and play king of the forest. He would climb up her trunk and swing from her branches and eat apples, and they would play hide-and-go-seek. And when he was tired, he would sleep in her shade. And it follows it through. Of course, the little boy grows up, and the little boy forgets to come back to the tree, and then every now and then he comes back to the tree, and the tree says, "Come, boy, come and climb up my trunk and swing from my branches and eat apples and play in my shade and be happy." And I'll synopsize a bit here. The boy says, "I'm too big to play. Do you have any money?" And the tree surrenders her apples. And then he comes back as a middle-aged man, and the tree makes the same invitation. And the man says, "I'm too busy to climb trees," said the boy. "I want a house to keep me warm. I want a wife and I want children. So I need a house. Can you give me a house?" And the tree says, "I have no house. The forest is my house. But you may cut off my branches and build a house. Then you'll be happy." And he finally comes back, the man, the boy, to the stump of the tree. He's a very old man. And Shel Silverstein writes, "And after a long time, the boy came back again. 'I'm sorry, boy,' said the tree, 'but I have nothing left to give you. My apples are gone.' 'My teeth are too weak for apples,' said the boy. 'My branches are gone,' said the tree. 'You cannot swing in them.' 'I'm too old to swing on branches,' said the boy. 'My trunk is gone,' said the tree. 'You cannot climb.' 'I'm too tired to climb,' said the boy. 'I'm sorry,' sighed the tree. 'I wish that I could give you something, but I have nothing left. I'm just an old stump. I'm sorry.' 'I don't need very much now,' said the boy. 'Just a quiet place to sit and rest. I'm very tired.' 'Well,' said the tree, straightening herself up as much as she could, 'well, an old stump is good for sitting and resting. Come, boy, sit down. Sit down and rest.' And the boy did, and the tree was happy." It's been my experience over the years, reading that to any number of youngsters, that they think that's nice, but they want me to read one of the naughtier ones. Maybe this is more the one for adults.
You know, he covers the ground pretty well, and clearly that's a children's story for adults, but, you know, the kids might secretly enjoy it. Can I read something else
please.
Now? I must remember, turkey on Thanksgiving, pudding on Christmas, eggs on Easter, chicken on Sunday, fish on Friday, leftovers Monday. But, ah me, I'm such a dunce, I went and ate them all at once.
Well, Daniel, it's been a pleasure.
Scott, thank you, ambassador from Chicago Children's Literature of the 50s and 60s, for introducing me and others to the work of Shel Silverstein. I'm kind of sorry he's gone now.
Yeah, okay. Daniel Pinkwater, of course, is our ambassador to the world of children's literature, is the author of many books for children and adults, the host of the radio program Chinwag Theater, speaking with us from his home in upstate New York.